the creator and the ruler of this universe. We bow this morning, dear Lord, say thank you for another day. A day that our eyes have not seen before. Thank you, Father, for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thanking you, Master, for these are children that have gathered and hungered and athirst for thy word. They've come asking, is there any word from heaven? I pray, Lord, that you lower me down into the treasures of thy word. Dear God, and fill me with thy spirit. Bring me up a flowing fountain of unadulterated truth, that these thy children may be fed and filled. I pray, Lord, that you give them receptive hearts and minds. I'm trusting that you speak, dear God, to me and through me. Use me, Lord. Our prayer in Jesus' name. Father, we stretch our hands unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. To all of you blood-bought children of God, sinners if there be any, glad you are here, and I am so grateful to God Almighty for sparing me another day.
Yes, sir.
To the illustrious pastor of this great church, and the person of Reverend Roger Green. We are thankful and humbled for your gracious invitation to come by this way and to share. I said to him a while back on the phone, I'm well aware that he didn't need me or really anyone else to come and preach for him. It was just kindness in his heart, love for a brother.
Yes, sir.
And I don't take it for granted. Learned long ago, folk don't have to be kind, and when they elect to be kind, they don't have to select you to be the recipient of that kindness. So I'm aware and I am grateful to these men of God that share this pulpit on this morning. I'm grateful, my brothers, for your presence, for all of you. Some of us, we go back some days. Amen. It's got some folk out there that know me by my childhood nickname. My family still call me Fail. And I was here on a few Sundays ago, and somebody said, is that Fail? And I looked to see who it was, and I was like, wow. I see you out there, many of you I know, and I'm glad to see you. And after all of the build-up that this great, powerful man of God who stands as a tall timber in Jehovah's forest, Pastor Green, gave me such a build-up, caused me to tremble. If you fall from a low place, it may not hurt so bad. But somebody build you way up high and you fall. It hurt. Pastor Green, I was some, oh, and one correction, and that's my fault, the way I shared with him. I've been in the pastorate for 40 years, not I pastored Lebanon, where I am now, for 20 years. But I began pastoring 40 years ago. I was invited to preach at a vacant church. They needed a pastor there. And there was a fella, a friend, who met me and heard me preach in the state of Tennessee. He happened to be a native of Louisiana, Monroe namely. And this church, not the church he belonged to, but he knew folk over there, and he told them about me. And Pastor Green, like you, he built me way up. He told them all about what, that I was some kind of preacher is what he was telling them folk. I never met any of them. They gave me a date to come and preach, and my phone began to ring. Then somebody else would call. Somebody else would call. Reverend, we waiting on you. We done heard all about you. Reverend, we know you coming. And they talked to me so much about what a great preacher I was. They convinced me. They did. The Piney Grove Missionary Baptist Church in West Monroe. Many of them, my phone was ringing on a daily basis, different ones calling me, telling me what a great preacher I was. And they convinced me, so I started thinking, yeah, I'm not. I got there, and I was in the back, and I could hear the choir singing, and the church was on Holy Ghost fire. Well, I'm thinking, yes, I'm going here now, and I'm icing on the cake. It's going, it's on. I'm going to preach. Well, and I was so determined that I was going to preach, I forgot. I asked the Lord to, Reverend, the way Baptist preachers be killing Jesus on the cross, I didn't die. I died. I caught that train straight to Flunkersville. When I finished, I was so much wishing that I could just disappear. I ain't want to shake nobody's hand. They coming around trying to tell me a wonderful sermon. I'm like, yeah, right, okay. Pulpit committee said, we're going to take you out to dinner. I'm like, well, no, you know, I got some folk with me, you know, some of my family come up. Well, we're going to feed everybody. Well, no, it's just too many. My daughter attends college here, and a lot of her friends have come. And it don't matter. Let's bring them all. I couldn't leave there fast enough. Sometimes we learn lessons the hard way.
Yeah, say it, man, say it.
I thought that I was something. Without God, I can do nothing. I hope you pray with me on today. Using up a lot of time and already, and so let's get to the matter at hand, if you will. In the Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy, again, Pastor Green, I am much grateful. I'm thankful. I'm happy to have here with me my dear wife. Sister Jennifer Lewis. She serves as the president of the Senior Women's Department of the Educational Missionary Baptist Association, under the leadership there of Reverend Renwick Bacon. And if you will, we want to begin our reading in chapter 32, verse 7, if you will. These are the words that are there recorded. This is the Song of Moses. They're nearing the end of their 40-year wilderness wandering. And beginning at verse 7, we read, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye." And our focus verse: "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him." Amen. We'd like to use on this morning, if you will, the eagle is stirring her nest. The eagle is stirring her nest. My last time here at Mount Zion, Pastor Green got up and he preached a sermon, powerful sermon. And things are different now. He said, things are different now. I look out amongst you, I see all of these masked people. Things are different now. Invisible death sweeping the globe, past epidemic proportion, to the point of being a pandemic, global. This global warming, there are strange atmospheric events taking place. When we look around our communities and our neighborhood, folk our children are killing one another. Things are, Reverend, different now. We are living in a time of futility and frustration, faithlessness and fear. Despondency, despair. It seems like it's not as comfortable here in this earthly nest as it used to be. I'm here to tell you that the eagle is stirring her nest. Now, this majestic, magnificent bird of prey has long been the fascination of mankind. In the area that Moses was, it wasn't the bald eagle so much, you know, common to that place, but the golden eagle. And it's a magnificent bird. The eagle's average length, the male eagle, average length, 37 and a half inches long. That's a pretty big bird. A wingspan of 7 feet on average. The eagle is known for its swiftness, keen eyesight. And they're able to see details at distances of 2 miles. Can see a storm brewing as far as 10 miles away. The emblem and insignia of the eagle, because the bird is so fascinating, it's even on our U.S. currency. Ancient days, they would have eagles as an emblem on the end of various statues and such, days of old. The eagle is a fascinating bird. And 30th chapter of Proverbs, verse 18. King Solomon writes the words of Agur and says that there are three things too wonderful for me. Yea, four which I know not. And number one on the list, he says, is the way of an eagle in the air. That's some kind of bird. Regal, royal, rules the sky. Alfred Lord Tennyson writes a poem entitled The Eagle. He talks about the eagle's majesty and how he has crooked hands, talons as an aged old man. Alfred Lord Tennyson says he sits high upon his mountain wall as the sea, the waves beneath him in humble submission crawl. That this bird is majestic and unlike a lot of folk. Eagles are known to mate for lifetime. They don't just pop in and pop out. Quick stop by, have a good time, and go on. No, 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 no. And the male eagle is, we have to take our hats off. He even shares in the nesting duties. Ain't like the dishes all over there, and I don't know when she gonna wash them, because I ain't. Cooking, that's for her to do. The male eagle is takes on responsibility. He even sits on the eggs. He helping her out.
Say it, man.
That's a fascinating bird. In stark contrast, there is, as I did research reading about eagles, I happened across another bird that I actually thought only, when I was a child, I thought this bird only existed on cartoons, Pastor Green. Reverend Slaughter, I thought this bird only existed in clocks. The clock get to a certain hour and he come out and say, cuckoo, cuckoo. I was, it arrested my attention and it caused me to change course. And I started looking at this cuckoo bird, the European cuckoo specifically.
Yeah.
The European cuckoo bird, unlike other birds, never build a nest. Mm. They don't build nests. They'll sit around and spy out another bird's nest that has laid eggs. They'll watch and do their reconnaissance, and they're observing. And when that bird flies off to go get the early bird getting the worm, the cuckoo bird will fly over to another bird's nest, lay her eggs there, fly off, and never look back. The cuckoo bird. I'm mighty afraid that in our society today, in our communities, I've kind of noticed that mamas today ain't like the mamas. They'll take their young ones and go by Big Mama House. Brother Sapp. Glenn, you know, and they drop their baby off.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. And they go on not caring for their own young. That's the cuckoo bird. And you know, they say if fruit don't fall far from the tree, that the bird who had built the nest, took their time building the nest, making a home for their young ones, come back and she sits and incubates and does, it sits and hatches all the eggs, inclusive of the cuckoo. And the baby cuckoo, not one of them, all of them, do the same thing. They don't have a manual to tell them how to be low down and rotten. It's just in them. This deoxyribonucleic acid, what we call DNA, is in them. And the baby cuckoo catches on that this adopted mother of mine, she goes out, she comes back, she got food, she feeds all of us on his neck. But the baby cuckoo is greedy and kind of no good. They will kick the other birds out the nest so that they fall to the earth and die, or that mother's not able to save them. They just ain't no good, so that they can have all the food. And when they grow up, they do just like their mama did. They lay the eggs, somebody's nest, and they go on. That's sad. We supposed to have some sense. But I find amongst humankind a lot of cuckoo bird mentality. It's in the DNA, you know. I'm a little bit bow-legged. My dad is a little bit bow-legged. I'm near about the same height. I mean, you know, it's just certain physical traits that DNA, 99.9999% inclusive, they can determine from DNA that this, yeah, that's the daddy, whomever. There's 0.0001% that scientists ain't able to find. It's something else there. And I'm going to come back to that. But I want to tell you in stark contrast is that eagle, far different than the cuckoo bird. The eagle, number one, structures her nest strategically. She builds it way high, perhaps in a mountain's cleft, or one of the tall cedars of Lebanon. The eagle builds her nest high where a young one will be safe. And she builds it strategically. There's the first layer of that eagle's nest is made of mud and clay and to give a solid foundation. Cuckoo don't build a bird nest at all. And the eagle then puts on a second layer, briars, thistles, and thorns. And then there is the top layer. Soft stuff, cushiony, cotton, leaves, so that the young ones will be comfortable in their nest. Another thing about the eagle, and don't forget this, because we're coming back to this. The eagle doesn't build just a nest. The eagle builds several nests. Multiple nests, a nest here, a nest there, a nest yonder. Unlike the cuckoo bird. You know, it's just in that cuckoo to be no good. You know, I remember I born and raised Pontiac, Michigan. I come to Louisiana and I'm going to, you know, I knock on somebody's door. I'd like to see your daughter. There was a question often asked, who are your people? Who are your people? Those older folk kind of understood. If you born in that cuckoo family, you tell that boy don't be coming back around here. Parents are particular about who come calling on their daughter. But today, these youngsters will show up asking for your daughter, you let them in, pants won't, like, you know, pulling pants and some everything. No. And Lord, please don't let daddy be home. But this bird, majestic bird of prey, is meticulous in her nest building.